Oh, now we're live.
We are live?
We are live now.
All right, Ty, are you sure we're live?
I am positive we're live.
Hey, everybody out there, are we live? All right. Are they answering?
No, but you can go ahead and pray, though.
Okay, pray us in. Officer Ryan, come a little closer so they can see how tall you are.
That's just wrong.
All right.
Father God. May your word tonight go from Pastor Sandy. Anoint him with your Holy Spirit to deliver the message that's from you, Father. May we be ready to receive it, to hear it, to put it into practice, and to be ready for your soon coming. Lord, we commit this family, the rest of this evening, all the ministries that are in this church and in the whole body of Christ, may it be committed to truth.
Yes. All right. So, we ready?
Yes, sir, we ready.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman. Okay. Couple things I want to talk to you guys about. Things that I really was like, I had so much on my mind this morning. The Lord had to kind of slow me down. The first thing, because I had the Kobe Bryant thing on my mind, and God said, no matter how much evidence you find, what's happened has happened. Evil people are evil. Because, right after he died, Google printed his death as an assassination.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. So, for most of the day, it was written up as his assassination date. So, yeah, so it's like, and that was bugging me. So I really kind of was looking into that, looking in the background, what's going on. And of course, there's a lot of crazy things went on with that. And the other thing is the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Now, listen to me, you guys. Bill Gates gave a speech at TED Talks about 3 or 4 years ago. And what they needed to do to bring down the population of the earth so that they can save energy. Like, if we don't get rid of people, we're not going to be able to have, the green gas effects and all of that. So his whole speech was about depopulation. Well, before the coronavirus came out, if you guys want to watch on Netflix, he gave a whole speech about a virus that was coming that was going to kill up to 65. And he's saying this on this special that he does with Netflix about where the coronavirus would start, how many deaths it could cause, the world is not prepared for it. And he's the one that's trying to depopulate the world. Him and his wife are two of the most evil Nephilim that are living on this earth, And I'm just watching all of these talk about it and give you some information on it. But the whole thing, they met about it, they talked about it, they talked about how many deaths it could cause, because his whole thing is depopulation is his goal. So like I said, viruses don't come from birds and they don't even come from bats and they don't come from fish. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
They're created in a lab that God will put a halt to it, because you can't bring about stuff like that with God's church in the world.
Amen.
Because have the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the power of Jesus Christ, and we pray against it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because you're not going to, it should make people say, I need to leave with the church leaves, because with the Holy Spirit here, these people act crazy. So who knows what they're going to do once the church leaves.
Crazy.
Also, the other thing I wanted to talk about was President Trump. Who is it? You know what? Let me tell you guys a story, and nobody really knows. And I hope Terrence, who I went to high school with, I probably told you guys before, maybe I didn't. He went to my high school. His brother and his wife and they work at Trump Tower, and I think in the one in Vegas, and Trump overheard them talking about their mortgage and, you know, being behind and trying to make their mortgage, right? And they work at Trump Tower, right? So he overhears them, and he pays off their house, the whole thing. A young black couple that's just working at the at Trump Tower or at the Trump Casino in Vegas, and he pays off their whole mortgage, right? And so if he was racist, he was like, I would pay your mortgage off, but you're black. So this black couple, he pays off their mortgage, right? And every time I put up something up, see, you know people by their fruit, okay? By what they do, okay? And I'm just saying, the speech yesterday concerning stopping late-term abortions, putting an end to that, you can't have late-term abortions, putting a stop to the pedophilia, and making a serious attack against it, not just in the United States, but worldwide. Mm-hmm. These are things, marching with pro-life, these are the things that make me say, I love this president, right? I'm telling you guys, and I said it before Donald Trump said it in his last address. They were planning a war with North Korea and the United States. And they were hoping that the United States would destroy North Korea so that they could go in and take their resources. This is what Hillary and those guys were planning. Mm-hmm. And if President Trump wouldn't have won, that world war would have started. But God says, my church is not ready for the rapture now. It's not time for a third world war. So now you have Trump in the office, okay? And I want to make sure that a lot of you guys are not just listening to CNN and all this stuff. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Steve Bochenek, and I keep telling you, he's one of the generals that when they decided, they decided this after 9/11, if we don't stop what these people are doing, we're gonna lose America.
Right.
And these generals said, we have to find someone to run for president, okay, that cannot be bribed, because if you don't have any money, the crooked people will come in, and then before you know it, you know, you're being bribed to do things that he cannot be able to be bribed, and he has to have the personality to win, right? And even Dr. Bochenek said when they brought up Trump, half the people in the room said, what? But when they looked at all of the things, they said his personality is perfect. He has $7 billion, so you're not gonna buy him off, right? So the whole thing was, how could they get him to run? And so 200 of these generals went to President Trump, and asked him to run for president and laid out to him what's going on in the world and why he needed to run.
Yeah.
So they showed him what's going on with the pedophilia around the world. They showed him what's going on as far as all the deep state actions and what they're doing around the world and trying to take over everything. And after they showed Trump everything, Trump said, okay, I'm gonna run. And they guaranteed his protection as well.
Yeah.
And we have to keep praying for him, because now that he's been acquitted again, I'm wondering what they're gonna come up with next time. Don't run any lights or anything, President Trump, because they'll pull you up. But now that he's been acquitted again, now they're really desperate, because now he's gonna run again. If he gets four more years, do you know how much damage he's done to them in just the time he's been in there? The pedophiles that's been arrested, all of the FBI people that got fired. I mean, the land that Obama purchased was confiscated by the government. You know, he's taking money from a uranium deal and buying himself private property around the world. And the military went in like, nope, taking that all, mm-hmm. you know. So it's a lot of things. And they know if he stays, it's going to be a lot more trouble for them, yeah. okay? So we have to make sure that we're praying for him to make sure that God keeps him there until the church leaves. And then when the church leaves, I hope he leaves with us. You know, I hope somebody has led him to confess Christ,
yeah.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hope he leaves with us. Then they can have it, and then they can deal with Jesus when he comes back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But for now, you needed Trump, and the Christians better stop saying, oh, we don't like Trump, because it's a very ignorant thing to say that you don't like Trump when this guy is against pedophilia, he's against abortions, you're getting more jobs, Drea's 501k or whatever that they do with their jobs has almost doubled since,
yeah.
you know, everyone's has,
yeah.
okay? So it's like, he's like, okay, we're gonna do things to help America and we're gonna do things to make this nation better. And Christians are like, I don't like him. I don't care if he is against abortion. What are you for abortion? You know, I don't like him. I don't care if he is arresting over 5,000 pedophiles. What are you for, pedophiles? It's like, when are you going to like him? What does he have to do for you to say, I like him being in office?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because all this stuff wasn't happening before he got there.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Now, we're going to have a Bible test. And I want some intelligent understanding and answers, and if you don't give them to me, I'm going to give you the answers so that you appear to be intelligent. Okay, now.
So you're.
I want us to go to Daniel chapter 12, the book of Daniel, chapter 12. See there, I didn't mark it. It's going to be a good learning night, okay? Are you in Daniel chapter 12? Okay. Let me see where it says the... Okay. This is the Lord, and he's speaking to Daniel. Let's start in verse 9. Daniel chapter 12, verse 9. And he replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the end. Many will be purified and made spotless, refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Praise God for that. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that caused desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days, okay? Blessed is the one who waits for, and reaches the end of the 1,335, okay? Now, it says, as for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise and receive your allot inheritance. Praise God. Okay, so now, what is he saying here? From the time of the daily sacrifice, is abolished, and the abomination of desolation. When does the abomination of desolation take place?
In the end of at the last part of the tribulation.
In the very middle of the tribulation. So at when the tribulation starts, 1,260 days will pass, and then he will set up the abomination of desolation in the temple, okay? Now, we know when he's saying this, that's the middle of the tribulation. So that would be after the 1,260 days. And then he says this, is set up, and he says, then there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits and reaches the end of the 1,335. So if we add the the beginning of the tribulation, and we go 1,260 days, and then now it's the middle of the tribulation, and he says what? When the abomination is set up, now it's going to be 1,290 days. It equals out to 2,550 days, okay? Now, Rosh Hashanah begins September 18th, 2020. You guys know what Rosh Hashanah is? The Feast of Trumpets, right? And 7 years later, Jesus returns, okay, on Yom Kippur. That should be a basic Bible study knowledge. Jesus will return on Yom Kippur, okay? So on Yom Kippur, September 12th, 2027, 7 years later, if you add all of these dates together, the 1,260 and the 1,290, from here to here is exactly 2,550 days. You see that? Now, if the rapture happened in September 18, 2020, would that begin the tribulation?
No.
Why not? This is good. This is good conversation. Why not? Why if the rapture, because see, if the rapture happens on the Feast of Trumpets, September 18, 2020, then that means that as soon as the rapture happens, if these numbers are right, as soon as the rapture happens, they have to sign the covenant.
But that's not going to happen.
Because let's read Daniel chapter 9. Let's read Daniel chapter 9. Because Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Why don't I mark my scriptures? Okay.
Marcia said 6 months after the rapture.
Thank you very much. Who said that, Marcia?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Marcia. You are way ahead of the class. As soon as I find Daniel, we're going to be all ahead of the class. There it is. There's Daniel. Okay. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, thank you for saying 6 months after, because when the rapture happens, now, our friend Jerry did this study, right? And counted all of these days. And I'm like, that's perfect, Jerry. When I saw it, I was like, that's exciting. That's absolutely perfect. And he goes, okay, but I still don't believe in a Rosh Hashanah rapture because it doesn't equate out to what the Bible says, okay? But I said, those numbers are perfect because 1,260 and 1,290 from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, 7 years. That means that you can count on the tribulation being exactly the time that God said, okay? But if the rapture, if we're taking up now, what would they have to do? Here we're in Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. We're in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, okay? Listen to what it says. It says, he will confirm a covenant with the many for 1/7. And in the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wings of the temple, he will set up the abomination that causes desolation. Okay? So it says, he will confirm a covenant with the many, okay? When he does that, he says, this will be the beginning of the 7 years, okay? He will confirm a covenant with the many for 7 years, okay? So the 7 years don't begin until when? Until he confirms the covenant, okay?
All right.
The 7 years of tribulation cannot begin until he confirms the covenant.
Right.
The Antichrist can't come until the covenant is done. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing about the 7-year covenant is once it's signed, once the Antichrist is in place, this 7 years of tribulation begins, mm-hmm. okay? And we, I'm going to talk, I'm trying to listen to the Lord, because people are not listening.
Amen.
Because I don't know if they're tired or if they're like, there's not going to be a rapture, or I don't know what the attitude is, but the Lord has let me know, like, they're going to be very sorry that they didn't listen. They should have hung in there and kept watching, because I didn't just command Pastor Sandy to watch. Watch and pray is a commandment to all Christians, okay? We're all supposed to be watching, okay? And so now that the Lord is telling me this is the end of your calling, this is it, this is the final thing, now this, even the Lord said, like, this is not a warning shot, this is the real thing, right? So you've got warning shots, okay, it could be 2010, it could be 2017, but the Lord says, this is not a warning shot, this is the real thing, okay? So, but people aren't listening because they don't really understand what's ahead of them, okay? Even though they should, they don't understand what's ahead of them.
Amen.
But we'll talk about that tomorrow. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 6, let's go there real fast. I want you, look, you guys, Jesus is about to give us life.
Amen.
Like you've never seen life before, okay? And all you have to do is keep watching, keep praying, and stay in relationship, okay? Amen. That's all we're trying to do, okay? Because I'm telling you, this is the end of my ministry. This is the end of what God has called me to do, and that's to prepare you to leave, okay? So now, let's look in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And watch this. It says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. You see that? John is in heaven. The church is in heaven, okay? In heaven, he sees the Lamb opening the first seal. The church is already in heaven. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say, in a loud voice, come. And I looked, and there before me was a white horse, and its rider had a bow. And he was given a crown and rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Okay? He's bent on conquest, which means that his whole thing is to go and destroy. Yeah. Okay? This is not Jesus Christ. This is the Antichrist. But understand, the bow is a covenant, okay? When I'm reading the Thayer lexicon, when I looked up bow, it sent me right back to Genesis chapter 9, verse 13, which is Keshek, the bow that was put into the sky as a covenant to the world, right? That it would not be flooded out again, okay? So this is what the Hebrews call the rule of first mention. Bow is always related to a covenant. This is why God says, I think in Psalms, that Israel became a deceitful bow, okay? That's why he was angry with him. What does he mean by that? The covenant they did not keep, okay? Even the language in the Greek, texon, which means which just says bow, but it has a root word, which is tecto, which means to bring forth a covenant, to birth forth a covenant, right? So this right here, what the scriptures is saying right here is this. I looked, and there before me was a white horse, and his rider had a bow. He had a covenant with him, okay? So when Jesus releases the first seal, who does he release? Satan, to go and make sure that the covenant is signed. You have the bow, begin it, and now this power comes. The word confirm a covenant means to give strength to it. Because a lot of people are getting mad. Oh, look what President Trump is doing. He's got this peace deal, deal of the centuries. He's given away Jerusalem, and they're signing the covenant. This is it. This is Daniel. This is not Daniel. The church has to be gone. There will be no covenant signed until the church is gone. So whatever you see them take over there, first of all, there wasn't two people there.
Right.
So Palestinians haven't agreed to anything. And this covenant that's going to be signed is between the, it's a covenant with the many, right?
Right.
This is an agreement with the many, okay? So understand, there is no covenant being signed until the church leaves, okay? I want you to understand that. Let me see if I, okay. So what do we expect in 2020? Now watch this, let's go back to the book of 2 Samuel. Yes, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Was that Sharon? All right, here we go. It says, meanwhile, Abner, son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishboeth. What does Ishboeth mean in Hebrew? Defiled man. Okay, they took this defiled man. Okay. And it says, meanwhile, Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishboeth, son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. Where is Mahanaim? This is where they're going to make Ishboeth king. Okay? And it says, he made him king over Gilead, Ashuri, Jezreel, and over Ephraim, Benjamin, and all of Israel. Ishboeth, they made him where? At Mahanaim. This is where they dance. This is where they have the good time, where they say, hey, we got us a new king. Knowing that God had already promised that the kingdom would be David's. David couldn't even be king now because Ishboeth is there in his place. And the Jews celebrated and danced to it. That's why when you go to the Song of Songs, and you read chapter 6, verse 11, it says, I went down to the nut trees to look at the new growth in the valley to see if the vine had budded or the pomegranates were in bloom. Before I realized it, my desire, who's my desire? Who is the desired one? I'm gonna show you guys in a minute. It says, my desire set me among the royal chariot, okay, of my people. And now the royal chariot must have took her away, because look what Israel says. Come back, Shulamite. Come back, that we may gaze upon you. Then Jesus says to them, why would you gaze on the Shulamite as on the dance of Mahanaim? What happened at the dance of Mahanaim? They made Ishboeth king instead of the real king. So the church is leaving, and now someone comes and you make him king, and he's not supposed to be king. Okay, I'm gonna show you a scripture here in Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. You guys ready? Chapter, Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. It says, this is what the Lord says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations will come. Who's the desire of the nations? Jesus. The desire of the nations will come. And I will fill his house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine. So he said, I'm going to shake the nation, and the desire of all nations is going to come. In Song of Song, she says, I went down to the nut grove to see if the season was ripe for harvest. And she said, all of a sudden, the desire one came and put me in a royal chariot and took me away. And her name is what? Shulamite. Where do we get the other story of the Shunammite? From David, yeah. Right? The Gentile bride that comes into the royal, into the kingdom before the Antichrist comes, okay? So as we go, as I go back to 2 Samuel chapter 2. I want us to understand this. It says, Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel. He reigned for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. So David, and it says, the length of the time David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Do you see this? That means the true king of Israel can't serve as king in Israel. He's in Hebron. Hebron is owned by Caleb, a Gentile. It was given to him because of his faithfulness. So he's serving in a Gentile area over Judah, which is praise, right? And he has to stay there for 7 years and 6 months, okay? When he comes back, he fights a war, and after he fights the war, the Jewish people come to him after his victory and say, you've always been our king. We just want to apologize and make you king over all of us, which is the way it's going to happen when Jesus comes back, okay? Because when he comes back, they're going to, it says, that everyone will see him, even those who pierced him, and they will say what to him? You've always been our king. You fought our wars. You did all of these things for us, and we didn't know or didn't understand. Okay? So understand, 7 years and 6 months is the time of the departure of the church. The rapture is not going to happen, and then as soon as the rapture happens, somebody says, somebody get a pen, hurry up and sign an agreement, because you know, the rapture just happened. We got to sign the agreement because this is, you know, the tribulation has to start now. That's not going to happen like that, okay? The church is gone. The church is doing their thing in heaven. The church is in heaven. We're at a wedding feast. We're at a banquet. We're at a wedding feast, a crowning ceremony, and a praise party before you even get to releasing the first.
And a tour.
Yeah, and a tour. Before you even get to, and that's the typology that's in the first chapter of Esther. And you're getting a tour. So this 6 months is not just sitting around doing nothing. We're getting to know our new life for 6 months. At the end of the 6 months, he comes and he says, now I see Jesus as a lamb. And he had a scroll in his hand, and he releases the first seal, and he says, go. And then now the white horse goes, and the Antichrist is in the world. He signs the covenant. And there, now, let's look at the board again. This is why I was excited about this. I was like, Jerry, this is excellent news. Because the 120th year don't start till March 20th, 2020, because that will be Nisan first, and that's when God starts his new year. So for God, the 120th year doesn't start till March 26th. Okay? Can we go to Genesis chapter 7 real fast? And we're going to read verse 11. I got Pastor Ben moving today. Sorry, Pastor Ben.
That's all right.
All right. Chapter 7, verse 11. It says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, On that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. When did that happen? It's the 120th year. We know that. It's the second month of the year on the 17th day that it happens. Okay? So you're not even really deep into the next year when it happens. Okay? You're not deep into, and I don't even want to go there. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But you're not deep into the year. You're only in the second month, the 17th day of the second month, and the flood begins, okay? So the rapture from Song of Songs and from Matthew, because they're grinding at the mill. You're not grinding at the mill during the fruit harvest, okay? That's either barley harvest or wheat harvest, okay? You're grinding at the mill. One is taking, the other one left. Here's your clue. Here's another one. She goes out in the early parts of the spring, or in the spring, to see if the early vines have budded. And so she's going out to see what's going on, and she gets swept away, you know, in the springtime, right? So you're looking for a spring or a Pentecost rapture. Why Pentecost? Because Pentecost is the time of the wheat harvest. The church is a wheat harvest. Okay? Do I have to do that study? The church is a wheat harvest. There are three harvests: barley, wheat, and fruit. The Old Testament saints are already gone. They're in the kingdom. Okay? The wheat harvest is now here in the world. And Jesus says, John says, he will gather his wheat into the barn. Okay, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. He's talking about the church being a wheat harvest. So you're looking at the wheat harvest. This is always happening. You might get an early wheat harvest in the spring, but the wheat harvest is either the spring or the early part of summer. Okay, so if that should happen, and it's March, or you say it's April, let's see, April, May, June, July, August, September, 6 months. Okay, so if you found this, that these numbers are perfect, and this is true, then 6 months before that means we don't have that much longer to wait on the exit day, right? Because it's 7 years, and 6 months is not, the rapture happens and now we got to sign the deal. No, we're going to heaven. We'll worry about the deal another time, okay? We'll, in 6 months, when you guys, after the banquet, after my crowning ceremony, after your tour, after the praise and worship party, then I'll take the scroll, then we can release the Antichrist, and then he can sign. Because remember this, when the flood happens, the flood is taking place for 40 days. The one with the seven has already gone up, meaning Jesus and the seven churches have already gone up. But the flood is happening upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And even after the 40 days and 40 nights, there's still things that are going on, right? Not till you get to chapter 11 does Nimrod come and become the first world dictator in the world, representing Satan. And then God says, let's go down and confuse them and break this thing up, right? So it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. It's not going to be any different, okay? You can't sit here saying, okay, when the rapture happens, that's going to be, the tribulation begins exactly on that day. The trouble begins.
Right.
But God does, he's not counting that as the tribulation. Okay, don't think that we're not going to be in trouble for 6 months. We'll be fine, but the world will be going through 6 months of trouble. But somebody's going to step forward and say, I'm going to bring peace to the world. I've got the answer. And Israel's going to believe him, and the world's going to believe him, and then he's going to go out bent on conquering and conquest. Okay? So now let's get to the second part of this. Let's see which part I want to. Okay. Let's go back. If you're in Genesis, let's look at Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. I just want to show you this one thing. This one thing here, and then we'll move on to Revelation chapter 14. Okay, in Genesis chapter 6, what does it say in verse 3? The Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." Okay? Now, I don't want to get into the giants because I was really into that this morning, but we know that there are Nephilim on the earth. But he says this, "My spirit shall not always contend or strive with man." It's the word in the Hebrew, din, which means he will not contend, he will not plead. He's not going to continue contending for man's affection, pleading for man's affection, judging man rather they're doing what they need to be doing. Enough. He says, my spirit is not going to always do this, okay? This same scripture is found only one other place in the scriptures, and that's Isaiah chapter 57. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 57. And I couldn't show you this on Thursday because I didn't have the scripture, but I want to show it to you now. Okay, now, Isaiah 57 starts like this. The righteous disappear. Okay, I'm not going to say perish because if I say perish to English people, that means they die, right? But if I say it in Hebrew, if I say the righteous avad, I say disappear because they should have put the right word there, okay? But they couldn't understand how righteous people just going to disappear, so they had to find a word. Okay, the righteous disappear, and no one ponders in his heart. Devout men are taken away, okay? Asaph, it says, and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to spare them from evil. So the righteous are taken away to do what? To spare us from evil. Then it goes into a whole thing about talking about what the unrighteous people have done and what's about to come for them. Even in verse 4, it says, who are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Because before we left, they were mocking us and sticking out their tongue. You know, you believe in a rapture, and it ain't going to happen. And then now in this chapter that says, hey, the righteous disappeared and they've been assaulted or taken or taken from the earth. Now he said, now who are you going to mock? Okay, now who are you going to lick your tongue out at? Okay, but now in verse 16, it repeats Genesis. It says, I'm going to read my translation. It says, I will not accuse forever, nor will I always be angry. For then the spirit of man would grow faint before me, the breath of man that I have created. Okay? So, who has a King James version or something that says something other than, I will not accuse forever? You guys have accused too?
I will not accuse them forever.
Okay. It's the same word, though, that's used in Genesis. It's deen. Okay? It's the same word, I will not strive forever. I will not strive with them forever. I will not plead with you, contend with you, contend with man forever. Why? Because the time for the spirit to be in the earth will expire at some time. What does the spirit have to do? Why is the Holy Spirit here? Why did God send the Holy Spirit other than to teach us his word and to keep it? But he has a main job. He's not just here to teach us the word. What is the Holy Spirit here for? He's here to protect, but that's not the reason why he's here.
I have something different here.
Here it is.
Number 16. And
what it says? It says, for I will not contend forever.
Try so, this one over here.
Yeah.
Verse number 16.
It says here, for I will not contend forever. So it's both. It's
no,
both.
No, no,
this.
No, over here. I saw it.
No, that's good. That's good. That's enough.
You sure?
Yeah, that's enough.
Okay.
So that's the only thing, because the word contend is deen. It just means I'm not going to plead and contend with you forever for you to live righteous and to do what you're supposed to do. Okay? And he's saying that this day is going to come. Now, I just asked you a question. Okay. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
12 minutes.
Okay. Now, you guys, look. Someone asked this, little smarty pants on the YouTube. How many times does Jesus come in the sky?
Ooh.
I said twice. Does he come once to rapture up and then the other time come back? Or does he come twice in the sky to rapture up and then he comes a third time all the way back? What do you guys think?
Third time?
Listen, I want you guys to listen because scripture has to be true over man. Does God come and rapture the church and then come back again in rapture and then the second coming happens?
He meets us in the air once and then he puts his foot down a second time. There ain't no third time.
Okay.
The sickle scoops us up as he's coming back.
Okay. Now, I want you to understand something. And this is the problem with the church. There is a rapture before the tribulation starts. There is a rapture at the end of the tribulation,
right, the Jews.
On Rosh Hashanah.
The Jews, yeah.
It happens on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Then 10 days later, what happens? Yom Kippur, he comes back.
Yeah.
Okay? So, the church is raptured out of the world. The tribulation is going on. Then, 10 days before Jesus returns to the earth, he comes down again. And he says, I'm taking 144,000 up first as a first fruit.
Yeah.
Then he says, now bring up the fruit harvest. And then now the Jewish, listen, Tarbut Beisrael, the culture of Israel is this. On Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment. After that, the world has 10 days left to get right because the Lord is coming, right? Rosh Hashanah is Tishri 1. When is Yom Kippur? The 10th of Tishri. Okay? These are called the days of awe. These are the 10 days. Like, the Lord came on Rosh Hashanah. Now for 10 days, we got to get it together because when he comes back, he's coming back to judge and you got to be right then. Okay? So a Rosh Hashanah rapture is correct at the end of the tribulation, but not for the church. The church is not a fruit harvest. It is a wheat harvest. Okay? Here, let's read this. Okay, are you in Revelation chapter 14? He says, then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. Where is John at talking about this? In heaven. And he says, I see the Lamb standing on Mount Zion with the 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their forehead. I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of a rushing water and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of a harpist playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne. Who? The 144,000. And before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. You see that? So God takes the 144,000 up first, but he takes them, it says, as a first fruit offering. They are a type of a first fruit. Who was our first fruit that went up? That went up on the 40th day? Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ went up on the 40th day. Not until on the 50th day did Pentecost happen. You understand? So Jesus goes up, and so as our first fruit, this 144,000, he says, they, here, I'll read it for you. I don't have to keep talking. It says, these are those who did not defile themselves with women. They kept themselves pure. They followed the Lord wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as a first fruit to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. You hear that? So they go up to heaven. All right. Hoo-wee. Now, let's go to verse 14, because then we'll be reading too much.
5 minutes.
Okay, verse 14. You there?
Yeah.
I looked, and there before me was a white cloud. And seated on the cloud was one who looked like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head. That means he's already had a crowning ceremony. Mm-hmm. Remember, they took off their crowns and they threw them to his feet? Mm-hmm. The church was there for the crowning ceremony. Remember, he has to reign in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. Where did they crown David first? In Hebron, not in Israel, okay? So they're crowning him now. Watch this, okay? In Thessalonians, when he comes down to the cloud, do you know they never say he had a crown on his head? In the book of Thessalonians, when he says he comes down to the cloud, okay, and calls us up, it never mentions a crown. You know why? He hasn't been crowned yet. But now here, he has crowns on his head. He's like, I've already been crowned, okay? I wasn't going to wait for Israel. So it says, I looked and there before me was a white cloud and the Son of Man with crowns of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Now, do you gather wheat with sickles? No. You gather the wheat with what? The winnowing fork. Okay? With the winnowing fork. Now, I'm going to take the fruit off the trees. So now we're using a different utensil. He's gathering the barn with the winnowing fork. If you go back and read Matthew, he says he has his winnowing fork with him, mm-hmm. okay, to gather in the wheat harvest. But now he says, okay, he says, someone said, hey, well, you could cut down the wheat. I'm talking about gathering it in, okay? It says then, he says, then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was seated on the cloud. Take your sickle and reap, for the time has come to reap. Okay? For the harvest of the earth is ripe. So, he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over earth, and the earth was harvested. Wow. So he swings his sickle over the earth. This is at the end of the tribulation. This is Rosh Hashanah 2027. He swings his sickle over the earth, and he brings up those that are confessing Jesus Christ. Now, after that, he says in verse 17, another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he took the sharp sickle. It says, still another angel had charge of the fire. Stop. Still another angel had charge of the fire and came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle,
take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes, see, this is a fruit harvest, from the earth's vine, because the grapes are ripe. And the angel swung the sickle on the earth and gathered the grapes and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. They were trampled in the winepress outside the city. The blood flowed up out of the press, rising as high as the horse's bridle for a distance of 16 stadia. So, I want you to understand, before he does that, he says something here. He says these angels went to the altar, okay? And they were in charge of the fire. If you're Jewish now, you know it's Yom Kippur. What do I need to do? I need to go on the altar, I need to take the incense, and I need to put them on the fire, and I need to make a cloud, because who's about to go back to the earth? Jesus. This is all in Deuteronomy, okay? Because when you read, he's going to come back on a cloud and rescue Israel. He's coming back on a cloud that they formed in heaven. They took the incense off of the altar and put it in the fire so that it could create a cloud. Why? He's about to return. If you see him return, you're done. The cloud is not for him. The cloud is for us, for the people that are on the earth, so that he can kill who he wants and not everybody die. Because the men of the earth says, the scroll of the sky has now been rolled back. And they can see him who sits on the cloud, okay, who sits on the throne. And they say, hide us from the one who sits on the throne. Because what? The earth, the sky is going to be rolled back. So now this is Yom Kippur. They're setting the scene for Yom Kippur. We could go back to Deuteronomy 16:16, but I don't want to, where they originally started this, to tell you, if you're going to come in and see God, tell them to take the incense off the altar and put it on the fire and make a cloud before you come in, because if you see the presence of the Lord, you're going to drop dead just like those two boys did. Yeah. So he's telling them, okay, so he's telling them, this is how we do this. Okay, now watch this. I know I've got little time, Pastor. Yeah. Okay. Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the grape. Okay, we read that. Okay, verse 15, watch this. I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign. Look who's in heaven now. Seven angels with seven last plagues. Last because with them, God's wrath is complete. And I saw what looked like to be a sea of glass mixed with fire, okay? And standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name. They held harps and were given to them by God, and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So you got a Jewish song going on and a Gentile song going on. Now, I want you to understand this. They're in heaven and they see a sea. They see a sea of glass. Have we seen a sea of glass before?
Yes.
Where at?
In heaven.
Revelation chapter 4, there was a sea of glass. Was there any fire on that sea of glass? Peaceful. Okay. What does Shulamite mean?
No.
Perfect rest. What does Shunammite mean? Perfect peace. So you see, this woman, they're on a sea of glass, but it's calm as ice. Mm-hmm. Now these people come out, they're on a sea of glass mixed with fire, and they said they overcame the beast and the number of his name. These people went through the tribulation, but where are they now? They're in heaven. Now this time of judging the earth is coming. Now
Jesus comes in a cloud and he judges the whole earth and he destroys them all, right? But look who's in heaven. Look who made it to heaven. The Old Testament saints from Matthew chapter 27, they went up first. The church in the wheat harvest, we went up second, right? Third, he swings the sickle and he brings up the 144,000 and he brings up those that are believing in the tribulation. Then 10 days later, he says, okay, now it's time to put a cloud up because now it's time to go back and destroy. Okay, because they're not going to, their collection is not for salvation. Their collection is to be thrown into the wrath of God's fire. You understand? So there is a Rosh Hashanah rapture. You don't have to say there's a Rosh Hashanah rapture and they don't, and the rapture is not until the end. Yes, there is a rapture at the end. It is the 144,000 and the fruit harvest. Okay. But the church is gone 7 years and 6 months before all of that begins. It's very important for us to understand God's plan, okay? Because his plan is not, okay, I'm gonna take the church and okay, I got all these people that have now decided they're gonna live for me, but I'm not gonna rescue you, okay? Now, they have to go through a lot, but right before Jesus comes back, on Rosh Hashanah, he takes them up. Amen. This is the Corinthians that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, okay, at the what? Last trump. That's the Rosh Hashanah trumpet. That Corinthians is talking about them. The other trumpet, when he comes to the cloud, is talking about us when he comes down with his voice, okay? So you have to be able to separate the harvest seasons so you understand when the rapture is and when it's not, okay? I think that's about it. That's about it. But I want to thank Jerry because he did all the numbers on this and he said, wow, 1,260 and 1,290 is exactly the amount of time that it says in Daniel from Rosh Hashanah. Then 7 years later, 2012, it's exactly. And I said, that's perfect, because we'll be gone 6 months before that day starts. And so if that's right, then ours is right. And that would be awesome, because I like to be gone early in the year, not be sitting around waiting for fall because it's not Rosh Hashanah, okay? Because that's not the church harvest. It's not a Rosh Hashanah harvest, okay? So praise God. I hope you guys learned something. And we're gonna talk tomorrow about the dreaded Nephilim.
Ooh, wow, amen.
That's in our world. You ready?
I'm ready, waiting on you. That's
close it out.
All right.
All right.